Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world, with the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author, Matt Adams.
What is going on, folks? Welcome into the Fairways of Life show. Pleasure to have your company wherever you are joining us around the world today. We've got, I think, what's going to be a very, very interesting show today. A veteran campaigner, a dear friend about to join us on the program, as well as a player that's right in the mix currently for everything that's going on in the world of golf and all the different things that we may want to talk about. And those different things we may want to talk about, I have the perfect candidate for the same. Trip Eisenhower is joining us. You know Trip from his work on Golf Channel, no doubt. He also is a six-time winner amongst the professional ranks, multiple wins, in fact, on the Korn Ferry Tour. He had 306, count them, starts on the tour, 24 career top tens. And he's got a new project going on that we're going to talk about in a second called Gap Golf. I will get to that with Trip. But first of all, we say good morning to the man and see what's going on in his world. How you doing, Trip?
Hello, my friend. Good to be here. Thanks for having me. This is going to be fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so let's jump into this thing. I saw you on Central last night. I hear the talk constantly about Scottie Scheffler and the putter. And it's with good merit. I understand. But what he did last weekend in finishing second, and his just to give you some examples, strokes gained putting in the second round, he's 128th. Strokes gained putting in the third round, he was 7th, right? Strokes gained putting in the final round, he's 72nd. All I'm saying is the flow and ebb of the putter with guys at that level, the best of the best of the best, because their ball striking is always so exceptional. If they get even near average, they blow the field away. And so that flow and ebb doesn't worry me that much. So Dominic put in my rundown because he puts in little suggested questions. And he said, ask Tripp if you think that there's a problem right now with Scottie Scheffler's putting. And I'm not going to ask you that because I don't really think there is.
I would agree with you. Yes, I would totally agree with you. And here's the thing. It's not like he's hitting awful putts. I mean, we focus on that putt on 18 on Friday where, you know, he three putts from 6 feet. That first putt he hit was exactly where most people were reading that putt. They were reading it on the top edge and it wasn't breaking. Okay, so we focus, oh, well, he missed a six-footer for par, you know, and then, well, he was frustrated that day. It was really windy, and the wind was hitting his shots when he didn't think it would, and, you know, it was gusty conditions, and that's the worst conditions as a player. When you've got high winds that are up and down, it's really tough, and as good as he hits the ball every time, he hits it so doggone solid every single time. He's counting on, you know, that consistency of the win, and that really frustrated him. And I think that boiled over into him hitting another good putt that didn't go in. But that is one of the things, though, that, you know, typically world number one, it doesn't bother him. I mean, his process is so good, and it just insulates him from so many different things and all the noise around him, and it really gets him narrowed in and focused on his task at hand. And nobody's doing that better than him. But I agree with you, Matt, and I mean, really, it's one area, and I talked about it last night on Central. I talked about it on Sunday night on Central. It's 5 to 10 feet, and he's not putting way worse than tour average. Tour average is 56%. His average for the year is 55%. So it's not like he's putting from 5 to 10 feet at 48% or 47%. And keep in mind, that's missing one or one and a half more putts, you know, if he was at 47%. He's missing half a putt. Lower than average per round. But over four rounds, that does add up.
Well, the thing is, I was doing it because you've done this same thing. I was doing the dedicated coverage for PGA Tour Live. I was with Dennis Paulson. It was awesome. And we watched him. This is to your point. Sunday afternoon, he hit the putt on 17, and he spoke about it later on with that in 18. He hit those putts exactly where he wanted to, exactly the way that he wanted to. A person that's going sideways with the putter knows the line and blows it over here or blows it over there, hits it on the inside heel or catches it on toe, right? He hit both those exactly where he wanted to. He misread them. But what I did notice about Scottie, which I want to ask you about, not necessarily only about him, but about the others too, because you used the word focus and triggered this thought. My observation was, Tripp, is that I saw some signs of what I thought were mental fatigue. Just, you've won 2 weeks in a row. You're going through the emotions that go with that. You're going through, not so much physical. They're young guys and are strong. But still, and here you are in the mix again. But he's not the only one. I thought I saw some signs of fatigue from a number of different players, which is interesting because we're just about to go into the Masters. Your thoughts about that and handling that when you're in the middle of the fray?
Well, to your that could be overall, but I will go. And Michael Kim on X, by the way, is fantastic, and he mentioned about the golf course, and said, you know, they could grow rough here and have a U.S. Open.
Absolutely.
And I was very surprised because many of us, me included, when we were doing Central early in the week, I was like preluding Houston, I was like, well, this overseed's going to make it softer. It's going to make it easier. It's going to be an easier. In fact, it was harder. And the thing about that golf course is it would wear you out. I mean, when you go out and play in windy, gusty conditions and you're having to chip and pitch and balls are running off and doing all sorts of things that drive tour pros crazy, and it does wear on you by the end of the week. And you saw it, the mental fatigue on Friday, from Scotty, but he rebounded, and I just think it's a frustrating golf course, and I love to see that. As a tour player, I didn't like playing them, but as an analyst and someone watching it, I think it's entertaining. I like the golf course. I'm glad that they found this home in Houston. I hope they're there for a long, long time. It's right in the heart of Houston. What a good U.S. Open it would be to have there eventually at some point, or a major or a PGA even. But I think the golf course was introduced to the world in a new way because in the fall it was never going to absolutely the way it played, you know, with the dormant conditions, it wasn't that way. Yeah, probably some of the players are fatigued. But look, Scotty's been around long enough. He knows how to get his where he needs to be come Thursday, his tee time, channel his energy for that 72-hole race. I wouldn't put it as much to mental fatigue from that as I would the fatigue from running that race in that environment in Houston.
Yeah, to your point, too, about the golf course in particular, Tripp, I loved the par threes. I thought they were so well done. Really spectacular.
121-yard 15th hole on Saturday. 121 yards was the hardest hole on the golf course. That says it all right there.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. All right. Because I want to make sure I get this in before we run out of time, because we've got a lot to go through with you, including Gap Golf, which we're going to talk about probably after we take a break. But We're on the threshold of the Masters. We have the Valero Texas Open this week. Pretty good field. Andrew, could you throw that field up there so Tripp can see it in terms of guys getting ready for the last chance that they have to get in some competitive reps before they head up to Augusta? You can see Rory, Brian Harman, Åberg, Homa, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Matsuyama, Morikawa, Spieth, Tom Kim, Fowler, Eric Cole, amongst those that will be in the field. Your thoughts about the big storylines, the major storylines, as we're entering the first men's major of the year?
Well, the elephant in the room, I mean, it's LIV and PGA Tour. And where is this going to, how is this going to come together? It's going to come together. It has to. You know, the PGA Tour has made misstep after misstep after misstep in handling this. And it makes sense. I mean, look, they were a monopoly for a long time and they played the monopoly playbook. Unfortunately, it didn't work this time. And they've had to bring in a lot of different things. And I think it's going to help the PGA Tour in the long run because, look, I was one of the ones on the Player Advisory Council on both tours, the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour, yelling and screaming that this management team in Ponte Vedra was very reactionary. They weren't very visionary. And I think this sea change is going to help the PGA Tour get more visionary. And when you have private equity groups and those type people involved and people that make a lot of money, they make a lot of money because they have vision and they're able to see down the road a little bit. So, again, I think it's been a rocky road for the PGA Tour. I'm not a fan of the signature events. I'm all for having signature events, but I don't want limited fields. You don't need to compete against LIV by acting like LIV and narrowing your starting fields. I think you can have the big money events, and I love them. I think they're great if you give the opportunities for most of your membership, at least starting out. If you want to narrow them down to 120, that's fine to start, but at least have a cut because of the spirit of the game. And 72 holes, that is the measure, the standard of golf. LIV has brought a couple of things to bear, I would say. Possibly the team aspect of it has some merit. But the 54-hole thing has no merit, in my opinion. I that's the one thing I don't like about LIV, and I don't like starting a field with 48 to 54 guys. I think you the best thing about golf is you have, as many guys as you can get in the field Thursday and Friday, and then you can cut to whatever you want. If you want to cut to 48 and then have a shotgun start on the weekend, that's fine. But I think some of the most – times that I learned the most, and unfortunately I was on way too many cut lines, but I learned the most about my game in where I was trying to make the cut and really getting my game where it needed to be to try to compete on the weekends. And when you're winning tournaments and you're in contention, you learn a lot there too. But you know what? Most of the players are around those cuts more than they are winning golf tournaments. And as a player, that definitely is the biggest self-teacher that you can get, is how you thrive or don't thrive in that kind of environment when you're struggling coming down the stretch and find a way to, hit a couple of good shots and make a couple of key putts and make that cut by one or two shots and then have a good weekend. I learned more about my game in those times than I ever did winning tournaments.
Oh, learning about your game is the perfect segue to where we're about to go in just a couple of minutes. But to your point about the merits of a full field event or even a modified full field event and having a cut, look what just took place. Steven Yeager, who is a brilliant player, and we were all kind of waiting for him to do on the PGA Tour what he did on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is the ability to fearlessly go low. He took down the number one ranked player in the world. So to the point where if people talk about weaker fields, okay, tell me about a weaker field. Then wouldn't it suggest that the number one player in the world is going to blow away everybody else? He didn't. Steven Yeager won. And so for me as a golf fan, I think that that's the ultimate thing. We saw the same thing. I keep going back to Eric Cole and Chris Kirk at the Honda. Yeah. That was one of the most entertaining tournaments of the year, and I was very entertained this past weekend because of precisely what you're talking about.
Well, but you're eliminating the Eric Coles by making these fields like set. What his story last year? I love that, and I love what it did. I mean, here's a guy who was on the mini tours making as much money as you could possibly make on the mini tours, but he was he went through that journey and he was able to finally break through. But we're putting roadblocks for the Eric Coles of the world. We're putting roadblocks for even the guys like Victor Hovland and Scottie Scheffler, who came through the Korn Ferry Tour, that we're making their time a lot longer when you're putting these roadblocks to get in the elevated events where there are more points and all the different things. That's why I say, give the opportunity, let the meritocracy of golf do its thing, because it's the ultimate meritocracy. And that's one of the things that I think is being shaved away in this environment of these, we only need 50, 60 guys in a field to make it special. You know what? U.S. Open's been special for a long time. They start their field with 156. And you know what? How many of them are qualifiers that you've never heard of? Those are always pretty good stories. So, it's not just the 50 that drive everything.
So a couple of things that we've learned so far in terms of management style: don't react, envision, and then consider that more instead of less is probably a better way to go. Okay, Andrew, do me a favor. Throw the odds up there for the Masters. Trip, to wrap up here, because I want to make sure we have enough time on the other side of this for Gap Golf. Two guys, two names. I'll give you two from this list or otherwise for your favorites for the Masters.
You've got to say Scott Scheffler. I mean, how do you not say Scottie Scheffler? And also, who plays really good with a chip on his shoulder? John Rahm. We could see Nick Faldo here. I'm just saying. I think we could see back-to-back Masters champions. I just think he's got a lot to prove that his going to live was the right thing, which I think it was at the time. I mean, why wouldn't you? I don't blame John at all, because he knows now there's going to be a pathway back and go take the money and you know, play less but still have the majors. You know what? They're going to be maybe eating tapas 2 years in a row at the Champions Dinner.
All right, Scotty Scheffler, John Rahm, officially in the books for Trip Eisenhower. When we come back with this man, he's going to tell us about a project that he has created called Gap Golf that when I heard it, saw it, I thought to myself, wow, this is kind of ingenious. You've got a tour player that's offering this to you. You'll see it and you'll know it right after this break. The Fairways of Life show is presented by the PGA Tour Superstore, the number one golf retailer from coast to coast. Big, beautiful stores. Yes, check that box. You need it. You want it. Swing it. Wear it. Learn from it. They got it. But you're shopping with pros vested in your best interest. And that, to me, is the best part. Your happy place.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous links courses and our world-famous parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try these. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to BoyneGolf.com.
You know, I've had the privilege of playing against and analyzing the best players in the game. It's the things that happen away from the golf course, away from the tournament site that you never see, that makes these great champions exactly what they are. That's what I want to help you with. I want to teach you these tour-proven techniques and strategies that consistently deliver lower scores. Come along with me. Let's bridge the gap between where your game is now and where you want it to be.
That's it. That's Gap Golf. That's the concept that Tripp has put out to the world. So, Tripp, I guess the place where I'd want to start, base level, right? What is it How did you conceive it, and what are you doing with it?
Well, the genesis of it, Matt, was, you know, my best friend is Bill McDonald, the coach at University of South Carolina, and we played golf at Georgia Tech together. We were like brothers, and he had a team that was struggling in the fall back up. It was about 5-6 years ago. And he said, hey, you know, you're really good with, you know, your scoring clubs, and you were always really good with those and your short game. And he said, just come talk to my team. He said, I got to get these guys motivated. They're not working, you know, in the right areas of the game. They're not there. He said, they love hitting balls and they're just not scoring. And, so I went down and first of January and met with the team. He made me the volunteer assistant men's golf coach so I could come down and work with him occasionally. So I talked to the team and, just kind of told them what I did, how I went about, you know, hitting wedges and how important 150 yards and in. You know, I worked with Dr. Bob Rotella since the time I was 16 years old, and he hammered it in my head that if you want to be good at golf, this isn't the sexy stuff. This is the meat and potatoes. And if you really want to, you know, get really good, this is where you got to spend your time, and it helps build your mental confidence and everything else. So I worked with that team and then explained, I call it the core number system now, which is a system that I kind of came up with for getting your numbers with each of your wedges. And then I told them how to kind of practice their, spend their time on their short game and putting. And that team went on and they bought in and they worked, you know, at this stuff, and they won 3 of their next 4 tournaments that year. And that was a team that hadn't won anything. So, you know, that was great. And I'm still with Golf Channel. I have, you know, all this stuff, and I would occasionally go down and work with some kids. And then when I would do it, the kids that would buy in, they would go on and win tournaments and play well. So I was just doing it kind of on the side. And, you know, this last year I have, not a full-time, contract with Golf Channel for the first time really in 12 years. I'm still, you know, with Golf Channel and have a great deal, but I've got a little bit more time. So I was like, I'm really passionate about this. And I started doing it. I you know, worked with another college team in the fall, and one of their players went on and won a tournament by 6 shots after, you know, applying the things that I told him. It's no secret. It's what tour players do. I mean, this is what makes us tour players, is the fact that we don't just stand on the range and hit balls. And our time is very important to us. So we figured out ways to spend that time efficiently and use the tools that are available to anybody. And it just is a matter of putting in the time. And like I said, it's not the sexy work, it's the grunt work, but it's the stuff, if you do it, it always pays dividends. And then, you know, I did a project with Dr. Bob Rotella years ago, 17, 18 years ago. And we had a great run with that. And it really, all of his mental strategies are interwoven in this. And, you know, I have a lot of that material that I was just like, I talked to Doc the other day. I'm like, this stuff is timeless. I'm like, and he's like, I've been saying it for 40 years, because much of the game, they want to sell the long game. That's the sexy thing. I mean, we got driving ranges, we got all this different stuff, but what we don't have is, you know, people focusing totally on the mental and the practice and how to spend it efficiently. So that's really the genesis of it and where I am now. And I, you know what, I'm having a ball with it. It is fun, because it's great to help people get better. And that's the one thing that I do know, if you apply some of these things in your practice and how you go about the game of golf, no matter who you are, you're going to get see improvement.
There were 3 things that you said through the course of this that stood out, Tripp, to me. One of them is the phrase you just uttered, which was, no matter who you are, you used the word anybody, and then you talked about tools. So for our people that are watching or listening to us, wherever they are around the world, how does the rubber meet the road in this? How do they get involved? What do they get from this? Is this you coaching them one-on-one? Is it a library of services available to them, like they go on the website? How does it all work?
Well, if you join the membership, you get access to a treasure trove of mental game content with Dr. Bob Rotella. That, I mean, just watching that is going to help you. And there's going to be a lot more of that to come. You get drills. You got information. I mean, I have a conversation with Zach Johnson in there where he and I sat down and we talked for, you know, 15, 16 minutes. And Zach on short game, it's so good. I've got Stuart Sink and I did the same thing. You know, there's all sorts of video content and there's a whole library of drills and games and information on green reading, on, you know, how to practice your drills. Just that's for members. They get tons of that. I have premium memberships that are more where you get to work with me as far as I look at some of the stats through two of my partners or Arcos, which is, okay, you know, a very familiar in there. And Upgame is another beautiful data platform where I can take a look at your stats and I can prescribe, you know, a platform. Now that's typically for the better player. And that's more for, you know, the elite juniors. And that's really not necessarily elite juniors or just juniors or college level players, or even young pros trying to get going. I take my expertise as an analyst that I've been doing now for 13 years. And I say, okay, here's our weak points. Here's how to spend your time. And oh, by the way, here's some mental strategies from Dr. Bob Rotella that'll really help you in these areas. So that's kind of the stratification. I do have an elite series, and that's by invitation only, because those are the players that get my full one-on-one attention. And that's not going to be a high number. That's going to be like 10 to 12 people. But that is an application, and I want to screen people for that, make sure that they will put in the time so that I'm not wasting their time and they're not wasting mine. And again, that's the elite series aspect of it. But just joining Gap Golf, and there's going to be so much more. I've got video content, you know, just tons of it that will really help your game in a lot of different ways.
All right, it's called GapGolfCoach.com, the website, GapGolfCoach.com. So, Andrew, could you put that up there someplace so if people didn't understand what I just said?
And Matt, one other thing, just so you get the name and why I came up with Gap Golf, is I want to bridge the gap in traditional teaching and coaching. Not to say that that's not important. Please go and get lessons and get better physically, you know, do all that stuff. There's a gap between that and performance and short game and what tour players do. And that's what I'm doing, is trying to bridge that gap.
I can't wait to see it. I'm going to head on to the site because I'm really interested in some of this video content that you've put together. Obviously, you've put in a tremendous amount of time to create all that. It is not easy to do. And then the different levels that people can make a commitment. What are you willing to do for your game? How high do you want to aspire with the game that you have? Do you want to work with one of the best in the world? Do you want to work with a tour pro on making your game better? You can do it at Gap. GolfCoach.com, GapGolfCoach.com. There it is. Andrew, put it up on the screen so that you know exactly where to find it. Tripp, it is always a pleasure, my friend.
Love
catching up with you. I love whenever we get a chance to work together up at NBC Sports for Golf Channel. And I think in April, I think they've assigned us again. So you're burdened with me one more time.
All right. I love
but
it.
Thank you very much.
I love my days with Matt. We got to do
good luck with
often.
Everything.
I like
with
talking golf with you.
I love it too, man. It's awesome. We've been doing it for years and it's awesome. GapGolfCoach.com is where you can find the website with what Tripp is working on. Super excited about it and looking forward to getting an update on that very, very soon. We'll talk to you again, my friend. Okay.
All right, Matt.
We'll see you. All right, folks, when we come back, as I mentioned to you, we're going to be joined by a tour player that is right in the middle of the mix right now with everything, signature events, going to be playing in the Masters, and more. We'll explain on the other side of this.
Relax.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's happy place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous links courses and our world-famous parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Pushcart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with three locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today. Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. Eric Cole burst onto the scene in a huge way last year. There was that playoff loss at the Honda against Chris Kirk, which was still one of my favorite events of the entire year. Then he had a couple of top tens before the incredible stretch at the end of the year. Ready for it? Fourth at the Fortinet, third at the Shriners, runner-up at the Zozo. He ended the year at RSM Classic, third place there. It all culminated when he won the Arnold Palmer Award. That's for the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year honor. I'm sure all of this, no doubt, changed Eric's life. Pretty safe to say he's here to stay. His swing is beautiful. His numbers so far this season show no sophomore slump yet. 6 top 25s, 29th in the FedEx Cup standings, 38th in the official World Golf Ranking. Pumped to have him join us, especially since we'll be doing some pretty cool stuff in the second segment here today. We want to get a little geeky on equipment with him. Eric, what's going on, man? How you been?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. You just saw on the return that you're getting from us, but the world saw on their television screens an invitation from the Masters. I mean, where's your head at right now? Are you just like crazy excited about everything going on in your world?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's been a crazy last year and a half or so. But to get that Masters invite over the, you know, Christmas break was pretty special. And it's kind of a little bit hard to believe. But the fact that I'm going there in 5 days or whatever is pretty cool. And I'm excited. I know my wife and family are excited to be there, too. So it's going to be an awesome week.
We have a picture of you proposing to her at Pebble Beach, and then we put it side by side with a wedding photo. I guess the quick question is, now if your wife is watching, we're gonna say that she's the reason. But But what is the reason? What changed in the world of Eric Cole where all of a sudden the guy that won a zillion times on his way up to the PGA Tour found himself on the PGA Tour at 35 years old and you're lighting the world on fire?
Yeah, I'm not sure the answer to that question. I get it a lot, but I'd say one of the biggest things is I didn't change a whole lot. I just kind of kept with what I was trying to do and kept trying to improve. And I think it happens differently for different people. And for me, for whatever reason, it took a lot longer. And, you know, it's something that's almost made it a little bit sweeter to take the long road and finally be here now.
And the fact that you are a son of legends, how much did that give you both on both sides, I suppose? One is you're trying to come out from a shadow, and two is you're getting advice from the best of the best that have actually been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. How much did you find balance in all of that in order to become who you are?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a whole lot of the negatives that maybe people think. You know, I mean, my parents are both very supportive, and, you know, I didn't feel like I was, you know, in their shadow at all, really. I don't know if maybe I was different than other people who've had successful families in golf, but for me, it just felt like a lot of positives to be around golf a lot when I was young and see how cool it was and kind of, you know, inspire me to want to do that when, you know, I became an adult and had a chance to turn pro and try and play. So it was mostly positives for me.
How much do you have to be, Eric, careful with what you consume? Well, I don't even know if you drink alcohol, but how much you have to be careful with what you put into your body, food or beverage or otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a type 1 diabetic, so, you know, I have to monitor my sugar and have to be very careful with what I'm eating. I wouldn't say I'm the healthiest person in the world, but I make sure that what I'm putting in my body is, for the most part, pretty good stuff, and try not to get my sugars too high for sure.
So can you, if you wanted to, have a beer or something?
Yeah. I can drink a little bit. You know, if I do drink, it's typically like something that doesn't have a lot of carbs or sugar in it. So,
oh, you're like a
whiskey
guy.
Don't drink a ton of beer. But yeah, I could do that. Yeah.
I like where you're going. All right. So here's a question I got for you to that. You walk into the store, whatever it is, ABC Liquors where you live or whatever, right? And you're going to buy that bottle of whiskey or a tequila or something. You've got your PXG hat on, dressed like you are right now. Do you get asked to show ID every single time?
Yeah, I'd say a lot. Yeah, I get asked ID a decent amount. Probably not as much as, I don't know. I get asked a decent amount, so. Maybe I look a little young. I'm not sure.
A little young. Yeah, I think you do. It's absolutely awesome. All of it is very, very impressive. Now, I also saw where you were quoted as talking about your dad, Bobby, that he's helped you develop the golf swing that you have now. Your golf swing is so beautiful and it is so in balance. Could you kind of talk to us about the advice that he gave you over the years about trusting your swing and how you developed who and what you are right now as that player?
Yeah, sure. My dad is a little more on the technical side of things than my mom is, golf swing wise. So he was really big on fundamentals. So setting up well, correctly, you know, grip, alignment, more of the position side of the swing. So, you know, I kind of got a lot of that guidance when I was young. And I think when you start from a good spot, and this is definitely his opinion, if you start from a good spot with those fundamentals, you know, even if you have a few little idiosyncrasies or uniqueness to your swing's still going to be within a certain, you know, it's going to be somewhat fundamentally sound if you start from a good spot. So I think that was a huge thing for me at a young age is to get that guidance as to, you know, this is what you should be doing. This is how you should be doing. It's pretty objective. And then from there, you can kind of swing your swing and, you know, have the feel of, you know, your game. But if you start from a good spot, then it's a lot of times it's hard to get too far, you know, out of sequence or out of alignment with what you're doing.
The fact that you are as down to earth as you are is incredible in contrast to the fact that you've lived your life around legends. Could you talk to us about the fact that you had an opportunity? You're still only 35 years old, and here we are talking about that you played golf with and you knew Arnold Palmer through Sam, and I know that you know Mr. Nicklaus as well. It's just, it's kind of mind-blowing to me. And then you become the Arnold Palmer Award recipient as the Rookie of the Year. All of that is an incredible circle.
Yeah, no, the winning Rookie of the Year, having it being named Arnold Palmer Award, is just something that's hard to put into words, because I was very lucky at a young age when I was in high school to spend a lot of time around Mr. Palmer through Sam Saunders and his family. So, it was really special at the time. I knew it. I think some of my favorite memories with him were not really golf course stuff, just more sitting around the locker room, hearing him tell stories. And I remember watching him re-grip clubs. It was something that was just unbelievable. So, I was very lucky, and, to have it come full circle and win an award named after him is just such a huge honor, and I'm very proud of it.
How about all the legends you've bumped into? I mentioned Jack Nicklaus is one, but just either through your mom or through your dad, the fact that you kind of grew up around the game of golf, where, I know the stories that you guys would go on site and your mom would put you in like the daycare, and you guys with your family, what was six, I believe, right? You would fill it up.
Yeah, no, I was actually really lucky when we would travel around with my mom. I'm the second oldest in my family, so everyone else would kind of be in daycare. I was in daycare a little bit too, but when there got to a point where everyone else was in daycare and I was got to go walk around with my mom and watch her play, so I was kind of like, felt a little bit special. So that was one of the things that really got me into golf, is, just walking out there by myself and watching her and watching the fans interact with her and, seeing how much fun she was having out there. So that was a big impact and influence on me wanting to play professional golf.
I just want to circle back around to something that you had mentioned, a couple of things actually, but one of them was where you talked about how it took you more time, to use your phrase. Do you think that steel was hardened by fire in those years, that when you were out and you were winning all of these mini tour events, that by the time that you got to the PGA Tour, you knew you had air in your lungs, you knew that you could survive in situations like Lee Trevino would say, when you're putting for $5 and you don't have that in your pocket. Is that the way you felt, that when you got there, you're like, I kind of feel like I'm playing with house money?
Yeah, I'd say a little bit. I'd say for me, it was just so much harder. I felt like it was so much harder to get to the PGA Tour than, to just stick with what got you there and not change your game at all, which is something you see with maybe some younger players, some younger rookies, is, they haven't spent as much time kind of learning their game, and then they get to the PGA Tour and they see what all these great players can do, and they try and either change their game or try and do some new coach or something. So I think I was a little bit lucky in the fact that it took me so long, that, and I spent so much time around older players who know kind of what it takes, that getting there a lot of times is a lot harder than playing well if you just stick on tour, if you just stick to, what got you there.
Eric, did your views change as a guy that was trying to scrape and claw his way up the ladders of the game to now being an elite player, given where the game is at, that, there's signature events now, there's a lot of stuff that reward a player at your level versus a guy that was on the outside trying to get in? Have your views modified in any way on that and where the game is at right now on the PGA Tour?
I don't really know how much of a opinion I have on it. I think the idea of getting all the players together in the big events is awesome. But, you do want to protect the story of the underdog, kind of like, the Honda, now Cognizant, for me a while back. That was a really cool thing. I'd never been in contention before. All of a sudden I am. And, I think it's a balancing act, and I'm nowhere near smart enough to know where it's going to end up. But I think the idea that they're trying to do these signature events, and I think they've gone really well so far, I think I think is a positive thing, and the ability to try stuff is always a good thing.
Cool. We're going to geek out with Eric Cole when we come back here on the Fairways of Life show. I am going to ask him about his sponsors, but he plays PXG equipment. I want him to grab his golf bag, and I want to see what he's playing and why. This is a rare opportunity to go through the bag and talk equipment with one of the top players in the globe. More of the Fairways of Life show right after this.
I guess hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports, or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Stride by Zero Friction, the first of its kind personal caddy. Walk in comfort and style with Stride's remote and follow me technology. The Stride handles almost any terrain, and its 54-hole range will last all day. The lightweight design and removable front wheels makes it simple to handle. Plus, it easily fits golf carts. Order yours and save. Visit zerofriction.com/stride or scan the QR code to order yours today. Stride, your personal caddy.
Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. Eric Cole is our guest, 38th in the official world golf rankings. All right, so Eric, before we jump into the equipment stuff, which I'm dying to do with you, let's pay off the sponsors that you have so that we can say thank you to all of them. Talk to us about who you have aligned yourself with, please.
Yeah, sure. PXG is a club sponsor. I got some partners that I wear their logos of, Blue Tide Office. It's like a business that helps with other companies starting up businesses, pretty much. Boucher, it's a financial company. And then, that's on the other side. Alpha Advisors is kind of like a data technology efficiency company. So it helps companies be more efficient. So I use Titleist ball shoe glove. And I think that's about it.
Okay, Eric, here we go, brother. Grab that phone. This is a live on national television. Take your phone and show me the golf bag and let's start talking business here. You are on the PGA Tour, 19th on tour in proximity to the hole. From 125 to 150 yards, you are 11th. You are killing it with your scoring clubs. You start where you want to, but I'm dying to know about them.
Yeah, sure. I used Titleist wedges. I'm also messing around with the PXG wedge right now. It's hard to do. It's like backwards. But I use Titleist wedges, or Vokey wedges, I guess, SM10s, 60, 55, and 50. So, yeah, just pretty standard grinds. I use a T grind on my 60, but, yeah, I'll mess around a little bit with different grinds, but, try some different stuff out. But yeah, that's pretty much my wedge setup.
That 60 degree wedge that you had with that grind, is that to open up the heel a little bit so you can make it even flatter if you want to pop it straight up in the air?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a little bit, there's not much bounce on it, and it's definitely a little bit, I'm not sure what the word is, like, you know, more extreme than maybe some more forgiving game forgiveness wedges out there. But it's really nice on tour when you have to stop the ball quick and spin it, so... I think a lot of guys use it, and I've used it for a while now.
Love it. Okay, talk to us about what you're doing with your irons. Are you consistent with the irons, or do you have a mixed set?
Yeah, I use all PXG 0317ST, so it's kind of like one of their smaller blades.
Go right in there, dude. Nice. Go right in so we can see a really good shot of them. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, so 0317ST. And then I use the cavity back in the four iron. So a little bit bigger four iron CB. And that kind of just a little more forgiving, little wider sole on it. So it makes it a little easier to get up in the air if I need to.
Standard lies for you is what shafts?
Yeah, I use standard line loft, and then, I use, Dynamic Gold X100 mids, they're called. So a little more spin than just a typical dynamic old X100.
And what's that do for your trajectory with those for your apex?
Yeah, the trajectory is pretty. Yeah, apex is a little higher, but it kind of launches similar. So it's just got a little more rise in it. So it wants to land a little bit steeper. So it's got more spin and lands a little steeper. So, you know, that's one big thing from the Korn Ferry Tour to the PGA Tour is the greens are much firmer and faster out here, so you gotta stop the ball. And I'm not a real high spin player, so I switched to those probably almost a year ago, and it's been really good since.
And what are you doing with your grips? You have any cord in it?
No, I use the Align grips.
Oh, yeah.
Golf Pride Align. So I like it. I think it's like a little bit of an advantage to have that big rib on the back. You can feel the face a little better. So I've used those for a while now too.
Very cool. Okay. Talk to us about what you're doing with your woods.
Yeah, sure. So, five wood is PXG. I switched to a five wood maybe 2 years ago from a two iron, and it was a very good decision for me. Again, same thing, just trying to get the ball to land a little softer into some of the greens when you're going for it on a par five. And as long as I have the versatility to still hit it low, I really like it. Three wood, I use a TaylorMade three wood. And then driver, I use the new PXG Black Ops driver.
Let me take a look at that, baby.
Yeah, it's been really good. I like it a lot. It's, that is really cool. It's fast, but you don't lose anything with forgiveness. So I think a lot of the new drivers, you know, like they're built for speed, but then as soon as you get off center strikes, they come out with low spin and they're not really all that controllable, versus this has the speed, but it also, you know, has that forgiveness in there, which I really like.
Now, if I saw correctly, Eric, it was 9 degrees on this driver.
Yep.
How did you dial it in? What did you do shaft wise, et cetera?
Yeah, so I use a Riptide, even flow Riptide, which has a little more spin than others. But I got my drivers down like I think a half a degree, so it's more like an 8.5. So it's kind of like less loft, but then the shaft still has some spin. So I think that although when you get fitted, sometimes it's fun to max it out and try and get the best window to hit it far. I think for me, I also am trying to have something that's playable too on the course. So while it might not be launching super high with low spin and going as far as I could hit it, sometimes the idea of the ball coming off a little more playable combo of lower launch and a little higher spin feels really good to me. So that's kind of the combo I have set up there.
PXG.com, folks, if you want more information on what Eric is doing or if you want to check out PXG equipment for yourself. Talk to us about your putter, my man.
Yeah, so putter's PXG too. It's called the Bat Attack. I center shafted, so I switched to center shafted. I'm not sure if I can get that in there or not. But I switched to center shafted probably, again, 2.5 years ago, and been pretty steady with it since. And this one's really nice. It's, you know, just something that looks good, feels good, and it's very easy to line up with kind of that back, those two fangs on it and stuff. So it's been good, and something that I'm confident in, and PXG's done a great job of giving me a lot of options and finding something that works really well.
That putter looks like it would be face balanced. Is there any toe hang at all?
No, it's completely face balanced. I've switched around a little bit with trying some other PXG putters that have just that little bit of toe hang that I've used in the past, but this one's completely face balanced.
Cool. We are almost out of time, my man. It was awesome to go through that bag with you. How excited are you about this week? And we've already asked you about the Masters, but I'm asking you again because it deserves to. How excited are you about the 2 weeks in front of you?
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. I think this is one of the best weeks we have on tour for just ease. Everyone stays right here on site and you just walk over to the course. It's a great course, difficult but fair. And then, yeah, the Masters being, you know, five or six days away is hard to believe, but very excited about it.
Awesome. Eric, thank you so much for spending time with us. We wish you the very, very best. Yes, this week, but also at Augusta National.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Good to talk to you.
It was good to see you guys. All right, folks, thank you, too, so much for your company today. It was incredible, as always. Thank you to Trip Eisenhower. I'm really excited about everything that Eric's doing. We'll talk to you later on. Bye for now.